Hanging out on a Friday. We got Cookie Jar, bottom of the hour, 9:35. We'll get to the Pistons draft pick from last night. Yesterday on the show, we got a bit of a news dump. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, he's one of these trade deadline guys. He comes up around this time every year. Said that the Tigers would be all in on Alex Bregman if he was available. And that was met with, sure.
Cool.
Great. Makes sense. And then we went on our way and had our day. I know Doug and Gator aren't Bregman people. And I know a lot of Tiger fans reject the idea of adding Alex Bregman. And I truly want to know one thing. What the hell is wrong with you people? Can you give me a valid reason that isn't he turned us down and we want to be stubborn, pouty people? Because he makes them better. I've yet to hear a valid reason for why you wouldn't be all in on adding Alex Bregman to a team that's goal is to win the World Series.
It's interesting because in the offseason, everybody kept saying, we've got to get Alex Bregman. And I'm sitting next to a guy that 100% thought it was Bregman or die. And then all of a sudden, within 30 minutes, and we got that from Alex Bregman, he thought he was coming to Detroit. He was ready to sign the Tigers deal. And then within 30 minutes, he was able to get the shorter deal, the opt-out after year one, and signed with the Boston Red Sox. I don't hate him for doing it.
No, it's business.
And I'm not mad at ownership or the front office of the Tigers for not giving him that offer. I didn't want him for 1 year. I wanted him for longer. I think he's a very productive player. I think he still has 2, 3, maybe even 4 years of good baseball. And he started off the season in 51 games. He had 11 home runs, 35 RBIs, and he had an OPS of 938.
Elite. Elite
yes.
Third baseman, great defender too. I want valid reasons because I don't think it's valid to say my feelings were hurt, he turned us down, and I don't like him very much. We didn't like Chris Chelios very much when he played for the Blackhawks. When they play on your team, you learn to like players like that, good quality ball players. I think what's lost in all this too is the reporting of the Bregman stuff. We had Evan Petzold on of the Free Press, and he explained to us that Bregman's camp counteroffered.
Right.
There was the willingness to be here at his terms, and the difference was $15 million over 6 years
right.
and an opt-out after one season. And the sides couldn't bridge the gap. Bregman took a more of a lump-sum approach, but there's clear interest on both parties, including Alex Bregman. I think people think he hates the city of Detroit or he's afraid of the ballpark. He jacked 2 home runs when he was here in May, one off Tarek Skubal. He'll play here and play just fine. I'm not sure why you'd be opposed. I've heard the people who rally around Zach McKinstry. Guys, I went to Central Michigan. I love the story that is Zach McKinstry. Bregman's better. That's all that matters in pro sports. Take your feelings out of it. We want to be better. He's a proven postseason bat. McKinstry's a utility piece that can play everywhere. But McKinstry's playing well above his career right now. And even with Bregman missing a month, Bregman's been a better player than McKinstry. No doubt you add Alex Bregman.
And it's not a Alex Bregman, and if you bring him in, you're getting rid of Zach McKinstry.
No.
It's both of them.
And I'd go a step further because I've had people – because I'm on this personal crusade now because I don't understand any of this. I've had people suggest, well, we want to add a pitcher. I was unaware you only were allowed one trade at the deadline.
Right.
You get one silver bullet, and if we trade for Bregman, we're not allowed to add a reliever. It doesn't work that way.
You're basically going to get him for 3 months. He's on an expiring contract because if he performs as he did at the beginning of the season, he's going to opt out because the next contract is going to be the one that it's going to be the last big deal that he gets as a major league ball player. And so it was, in the Red Sox eyes, the chance that they could have him for 4 years. In Alex Bregman's eyes, it was, this is a one-year contract, and then I get to the free agent market again.
Let's play both scenarios out. You trade for him. The most likely thing is he opts out because that was the purpose of the deal. He wants a longer term, wants that $200 million. He'll get $40 up front, opt out, and try to make up the difference. Okay, we only get him for one World Series run, but as a rental, I'm not giving up Clark and McGonagall. You don't have to sweat it. If he were to come here and opt in, it's only for 2 more seasons, and you don't have this 8-9 year commitment that everybody's right. afraid of in baseball. It's 2 years at a time where your payroll is still relatively low, not a lot of long-term commitments. What's the downside in a player that we know they wanted here beyond one season being here beyond one season?
So you mean you're not going to have to pay him on years where he's no longer as productive?
Yes. That's supposedly the bad thing if he opts in. maybe people are afraid he's going to opt out, but then that frees up you from long-term commitments too.
Well, but here's the thing is, one, his motivation. His motivation is to get healthy. He is currently on the 10-day IL. Alex Cora had said, we expect him back after the All-Star break. It's a quad injury. His motivation is to get healthy. His motivation is to continue to play the way he did at the beginning of the season so that he opts out and gets a bigger contract. So you're going to get a guy with extremely high motivation, not just to win a World Series, and I tack on more millions of dollars if he's a part of a World Series winning team.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying we tack on those millions, but somebody across Major League Baseball will.
It's good for everybody. But fans booed him in May, so...
Okay, they booed an opponent. That's how you look at it.
I know.
You boo an opponent.
I would hope Scott Harris, it doesn't have the stubbornness.
Oh, I don't think Scott Harris will.
No, I don't think so either. And I don't think he would have this pouty disposition that I get from certain, I'm not going to label all Tiger fans this way, but from the ones that don't want Alex Bregman. If you could give us your perspective. Investigation is what we're doing here. We're trying to figure out why people don't want Alex Bregman. Ticket text 248-539-9797 says, the people in the state have taken Detroit versus everybody to heart. Every little thing that goes against us is a slight, and now it's getting overboard.
So the slight was?
He didn't pick us.
He didn't pick us.
So now Detroit versus everybody, you're everybody, we can't add him.
And anybody that ever says no to Detroit in free agency, whether it's a year down the road, 3 or 4 years down the road, you never want that player again.
No, apparently. Texter says it seems silly giving up prospects for a guy we could have had. No, I agree. It would have been better to sign him last offseason, but you didn't. So do you want to double down on that mistake, or do you want to rectify the mistake?
Well, and the fact that he is going to opt out after this year, and so if that's the case, you're giving up lesser prospects and less of prospects to be able to get him for 3 months.
Yeah, the idea that you don't want him because he's a rental, well, welcome to being a buyer at the trade deadline. They're going to add a player who's a rental at the end of July. No-brainer, Bregman can hit. Given the choice, I'd rather keep McKinstry at third. I'd take him instead of what you guys are discussing. John, do you get that?
I don't because – and I get the fact that Zach McKinstry has been good, but this isn't about chemistry in the clubhouse. This is simply about production. And I think if you add Alex Bregman, one of the reasons they actually were comfortable going after him is because he was going to be good in the clubhouse. He would be a guy that would be welcomed into the clubhouse because it's not you come in and we get rid of Zach McKinstry. You're going to – what do you – send Trey Sweeney down?
Yeah. Great. We upgraded the infield in a pretty big way.
Instead of a guy that's hitting sub-200, you get a guy that's hitting over 300 or close to it.
Basically, have four all-star bats. Bregman would be an all-star if he was healthy. You have four all-star bats on this team.
Yeah.
It's a great move if it materializes. And we understand the obstacles. Maybe the biggest reason not to trade for him is if he doesn't heal. He's currently injured, but we have another month still, and the expectation is he's going to be able to get back out on – it's not a season-ending injury.
Right.
So I kind of – want to debunk anybody who's afraid of the injury right now. This isn't a season ender.
Right, and maybe the apprehension is, one, he's not healthy right now, and it's not going to be until after the All-Star break, so it'll be what, you know, July 17, 18, 19, and if you wait, the other options are traded, and they find new spots, and now you're left with sitting, waiting on the availability of Alex Bregman, not just in the offseason, but as you approach the trade deadline.
Butthurt syndrome is the only reason to not want Bregman. That's from the ticket text, 248-539-9797. You're right about the culture fit, though, John. He was an ideal culture fit.
Well, and nobody knows him better than a guy that managed him. If AJ gave the stamp of approval and said, yeah, this guy is great in the clubhouse, he's great on the field, he's great at the plate, I don't understand where the apprehension is.
I'll go a little further. So the manager sets the tone, and the manager has a great sense of culture. The players also have to buy in on him. You know who loves Alex Bregman, the competitor, the person? Turk Skubal.
Hmm.
So I listened to that full Pardon My Take interview, and we pulled out the 10-year, $400 million offer there. Yeah, 425. Those millions matter. And that became the headline. But in there, they just brought up Bregman because they had that great standoff, that great at bat, and he goes, dude, I love the way Alex Bregman approaches the game. Like, that's from Scooble, your lead dog. So you got buy-in from the players in the clubhouse, too. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Noah in Rochester.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I just got to say, I am just so tired of people scared to give up prospects and, you know, future teams when your window is right now. You don't know how long the window is going to be. You could still have all these players, but you might be terrible next year. You never know. It feels like people in Detroit always want the big names and stuff, but then when it comes time to get the big names, you're a little hesitant because you don't want to give up prospects and stuff. Your window's now, why not go all in and do what you can now to win?
Well, and I mean, you bring up a good spot, a good point, because they are prospects. Like, I understand the excitement about Max Clark, and I'm not saying he's a part of this deal, but we have no idea if that the prospect of Max Clark or McGonigal or Lorenzen or anybody else is actually ever going to be a major league ball player and, as let's just say, as good as Bregman.
Well, I was just going to say, the player could be anything. They could even be Bregman. Well, that's what we'd just be cutting in line and adding that player. And I'm not saying flippantly trade all of these guys.
No.
I do think there are some lines in the sand. You're not going to give up multiple year. Like, someone like Max Clark or Kevin McGonigal are org guys for 7 to 10 years. I'm not giving that up for a three-month rental. Like, there's some level of discretion here. But when you're as stocked as they are organizationally, you have excess players. They're not all going to make it. Part of being a great baseball executive is you have to project. And that's project into your lineup. And you have to project, well, we think this guy hits a longer shot. We'll let somebody else take that risk while we go for it right now. 248-539-9797. Appreciate the phone call. We're going to talk a little Pistons draft coming up next. Mm-hmm. I know it's the second round, and it may be under the radar for people, but, John, I really like the guy they got.
Good.
I think you do, too. We'll see if we're on the same page. Maybe not as excited as I am. It's next, 97.1.
Hey, in sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, and we're talking about injuries right now, it is personal. The same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Femininio steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you need an attorney who's going to make it personal. That someone is David Femininio. You hear the slogan, and he says it all the time, get David, get paid. I say it all the time. It's not just a slogan. It's a promise to take care of you. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Well, we can't trade for Bregman now.
No, I mean, McKinstry hit a triple.
Why not both? Why not improve? I know we're bad people. We want the team to be better. We should be provincial and pouty, and he turned us down, so never again. That's the Bregman piece. It's been part of the show today. We should give a little more time to the Pistons.
Sure.
I know it's a second-round pick, so I don't think it's like an hour-long discussion, John, but I like the move they made last night. Chaz Lanier is one of those guys who I actually had some familiarity with. Second round of the draft can be a bit of a mixed bag, but this is a guy who played high-level ball in the SEC, best conference in hoops. One clear, obvious skill set that translates, jump shooting. He is a volume three-point shooter, and he makes them at a high clip. He did it lower level at North Florida, instant transition to the SEC, and he was damn near just as good with a higher level of competition. The comp I'd give you, Malik Beasley, 6'4", run around. He can hit some movement threes. I like the pick, and he's not some 18, 19-year-old. I think there's a chance he can contribute as soon as this season.
It, late developer. He had done this for, instead of just 1 year at North Florida and then to Tennessee doing it there, it's great that he was able to do it in the SEC. Obviously, the competition, the defense, being able to get open, create your own shot, all of those things are tougher in the SEC. And coming out of the SEC last year, that was the best basketball conference that there was.
Yeah.
So all of those things are positive, but I think if there was more than just the 1 year at Tennessee, probably would have been a higher pick. So maybe this is an absolute steal for him.
Langdon
this
said he wanted to trade up to get him.
Right.
They think there's a first-round grade on him.
They saw a lot of promise in him, and I know it's been reported. We haven't heard from Trajan Langdon yet, but they were excited that he was there at 37, and it was a quick pick for him.
He also said he liked, Langdon said he liked how coachable he is. Talked about making that transition and adding everything to his plate and thriving. And you know who probably appreciates that is J.B. Bickerstaff.
Oh, sure.
The idea that you can bring in a guy who will turn, is it 24 this December? He'll be older than five of his current teammates. and within a month, I think, of Cade and Stewart, he is in this pot of young players, but he's not coming in as raw as the last couple picks they've made. And while I don't think he has a ceiling anywhere near that of Ron Holland or Asar Thompson, he brings a skill set that those guys don't have right now, which is a lethal jump shot. He is not a dogged defender. He is not someone who's going to go to the rim and tomahawk it over people. He has one clear, obvious trait that translates to the NBA, and it's the trait that we've been screaming for the Pistons.
More shooters.
I don't know what's going to happen with Beasley. Langdon has said this was not a selection because of Beasley's free agent status. You can have both good shooters, but I like the idea that they are going to keep on that, that they're not going to ever be satisfied with, oh, we have Malik Beasley, so we don't need to add any three-point shooting.
Right. So, I mean, picks can be for now. They can also be for later. Now, obviously, the Pistons need it now.
Yeah.
But it can also be a guy that fills a role similar to Beasley. Beasley's not going to be out there every second of the game.
Well, what if they can't get a deal done with Beasley? It wasn't the chief reason to make the move, but for whatever reason, it's nice that you're not staring at a blank canvas.
Right. So what if Beasley's here for one more year
right.
or two more years?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, hey, 2 years down the road, maybe it's Chaz Lanier that steps in a more prominent role because he is coachable and it's not just a shooter anymore. Got to improve his ball handling skills, got to improve his ability to play defense. All of those things can be worked on. Now, will he play defense like a Ron Holland or, you know, some of these other guys? Maybe he never gets to that point, but he can be better than he is now.
Well, and if you're coachable, he's got a 6'8 wingspan,
yeah.
which I think is, he's not an undersized guard if you've got a 6'8 wingspan.
Or defense like Asar.
Yeah. But the idea here is if you're among other high-effort energy players and you yourself are coachable, and I think a lot of defense is effort and energy, it'll play. He's not going to be a liability if he uses his length, works in a team concept, and hustles. And then on the offensive end, you're going to be a pain in the ass if anybody leaves you open.
Yeah, and what I'd like to see from him, is whether we see him in the rookie league, we see him in early in the season, is, hey, when he's open, yeah, those are the ones you've got to knock down. You've got to show that you're money on those. And then can we see him, you know, not be a dribble drive guy, but, you know, to be able to create his own shot? And I know some of them, you mentioned the highlights earlier. Yeah, there are a lot where he's on the move. Can you do that at the NBA
right.
level?
3-point line's a little further back. You're going to miss a few more of them. But I like the pick. I think grading on the curve, it's not a lottery pick. It's a second-round pick. I give the pick an A for what you're expecting to get in the second round. A guy you were comfortable going up in the first, a guy with some pedigree who can step in and have an impact, not as a starter, but maybe as a, what, eighth or ninth guy?
For now. Or it's Beasley 2 years or 3 years down the road. Can he be the first guy off the bench?
He's sixth man, maybe. Laz in Detroit on the Ticket Tech says, I like the pick, but he has to defend at a higher level if he's going to play right away. I think that's valid.
Yeah. That's why I give it a B+. But I don't know that I would give any pick in the second round more than a B+.
Says this will give him what they thought Fontecchio was going to be last year.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, more of a shooter, more of a guy that can help spread the floor a little bit, more reliable from behind the arc.
Yeah.
More usable.
Sure.
Or willingness to actually put him in the game.
I don't think they made a mistake benching Fontecchio late
no,
in the year.
No. I don't. Yeah. That's.
But getting one more piece that you're comfortable putting in.
Right.
Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, what's going on?
Well, the 2025 SB nominations have been announced.
Do we have anybody in it?
Tarek Skubal.
Okay.
He's there. He's among the nominees for best MLB player.
Oh, well, he's going to lose to Judge or Ohtani, right?
Probably.
Yeah, Ohtani was in there quite a bit. I saw his name. I saw Josh Allen's name in there frequently.
Yeah.
Simone Biles was in there quite a bit.
MVPs have that tendency.
Right.
Yeah, you know. You can go online and check them all out because it would take me the whole segment to read them all to you.
Yeah, you don't need to do
which
that.
Which is no fun, but they'll take place on July 16th, so you can watch then. Hey, Adam Sandler is coming back to Detroit on his latest arena tour this fall. The You're My Best Friend tour will be at the LCA on Tuesday, October 14th. And, of course, this follows sold-out performances in 2022, 2023. Comes on the heels of his Netflix special. Then you got Happy Gilmore 2 coming out as well. So, should be good. Tickets go on sale Friday, June 27th at 12 p.m. Hey, if your dog barks too much, you could get a ticket in Warren. You better be careful. The Warren City Council unanimously just approved this new animal ordinance that has been kind of under development for quite a while. There's a lot of things in this ordinance. It sets out regulations covering things like ownership and care of chickens, rules about dog tethering. Okay. But then there's also something that was kind of changed as far as the dog noise, right? The dog barking. So basically, if your dog barks or howls persistently, it's no longer a misdemeanor. It's now a civil
infraction.
And basically, before, you could still get tickets if your dog constantly barked, but the like officers from the animal control had to hear the dog barking. So somebody could call and be like, this dog's been barking for hours. But if they show up and the dog's inside now, no tickets can be issued. But now with this change in the ordinance, tickets can be issued even if the officer does not actually hear the dog barking.
But how would that work? You just take your neighbor's word for it? So if you don't like your neighbor, hey, John's
dog's
been
barking. Yeah.
God, won't shut up barking all the time. Yeah, I'm sure there's more rules written in this ordinance. But anyway, just be careful if you're in Warren and you got a loud dog. Watch out.
Hey, Jim's cat's been mewing too loud.
Yes, mewing.
Mew. Mew. It says mew. The Lodge was closed this morning. May actually still be closed, if not opening very soon due to flooding. Flooding from fire hydrants. So both sides of the highway were closed between Howard and Jefferson as the Great Lakes Water Authority performed upgrades. And part of that, they had to flush out the system, and they flushed out the fire hydrants, which, okay, understand, you got to do, but all the drain, the storm drains, covered in debris, which caused the flooding. You think maybe you'd make sure that that was all
free.
Clear.
Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't. If it's not open now, it will be open soon.
Yeah, but you're getting to the end of the week. You're on your Friday. You just want it to go smooth.
I know. Former Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been suspended for the first 10 weeks of the 2025 regular season after a league investigation into misconduct allegations. So he was released by the Ravens back in May, and he has been accused by 16 massage therapists of acting inappropriately with them during their sessions. This all went on between 2012 and 2016. And on Thursday, after a big review, the league said, hey, guess what? Here is this big suspension. So he can serve the suspension as a free agent. He's free to sign with any team. Somebody can still sign him.
Yeah.
And if he does sign with somebody, he can go to training camp. He can play in the preseason games. And he would be eligible for reinstatement on November 11th.
See, I think the thing working against him here is the obvious optics and suspension. Why would you bring a guy in who can't kick for the first 10 weeks? But also, he wasn't kicking well either. I mean, there are teams that will look past things.
Yeah.
If you're not playing well,
right,
it's kind of a double whammy.
Yep. A Florida deputy was recently arrested after he was caught trying to steal cash during a traffic stop.
Okay.
So pulled a guy over, apparently requested the driver's wallet and phone, was seen going back to his patrol car to the trunk, put the items in the trunk, and then later went back and said, here you go, sir. Here's your wallet. Here's your phone.
Yeah.
It just happens to be empty.
Guy looks at it and is like, I had $300 in here. Where's that? Turns out the officer ended up, hold on a second. In his rifle bag, he was just like, here
I
it is.
It must have fallen out.
It's right here. I don't know how that got there.
How did
that
happen?
He was then arrested himself because of that.
Jeez.
What a dumbass.
What, did he think he was going to look in his wallet?
I think his body cam wouldn't, I don't know, maybe it wasn't on, but kind of outed himself, but not a good look.
Not at all. Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the cookie jar. We got a question. How far are you willing to go for the Lions to win a Super Bowl? I have a scenario that involves spiders, so apology to Heather in advance. It's next, 97.1.
Hey, guys. It's me, Heather. And if you've ever thought about getting a hot tub, this is your moment. I got mine from Beninati Pool and Spa, and let me tell you, it has been a game changer for us. We're using it after workouts for recovery. We're relaxing in it with the kids in the evenings, and we are totally loving it. And they made the whole process of getting a hot tub a breeze. They helped me pick out a hot tub that was perfect for me and my family. They delivered it. They installed it, and they've been there to help take care of maintenance as well. I'm telling you, they handle everything. Beninati Pool and Spa is right in Utica. It's next to Jimmy John's Field. Plus, they have a brand new showroom in Clinton Township right off M59 and I-94. So really, no matter which location you go to, you're going to be met with Beninati experts who will give you a personalized experience and help you find the right hot tub. And get this, if you mention my name, they're actually going to take $500 off your purchase just like that. Visit BeninatiPools.com or stop by Utica or Clinton Township and see why so many people love the Beninati experience.